Happy Lent to you, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Scott Kellett, your host. It has begun. Lent has begun. I think we, in the Latin Rite, are the late starters this year, but now all of us are all the way in. I just hope it's a blessed. I have a friend who says, blessed struggle. Have a blessed struggle. Mm-hmm. So I hope it is for you as well. We have a very good program for you today. Second hour, Father Matthew Spencer will be here, and we'll do Ask a Priest. You can ask him anything you want. Those of you who know Father Spencer, love him. There's no other way to be. Like, if you know this guy, you love this guy. So come with any question. Maybe you've got a Lenten question. Maybe you've got a pastoral question about working on your prayer life or your fasting or your just being a kinder person or your sacramental life. All welcome, second hour. First hour, our very good friend Scott Wieman is here, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. And we're going to talk about recovery a bit. We try to do this, I don't know, four, five, six times a year where Scott comes in and you can ask about it. Maybe it's a question in the family. Maybe it's a question for you yourself. You'd like some help with that. Scott, welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Great to be here.
I heard you got a new, is it an ebook or a regular, what kind of, or how's it working?
Yeah, we have an ebook, the Lenten Reflection Book, that was put together among several Catholic in Recovery members, offered available today, CatholicInRecovery.com. And excited to have this kind of content that provides something to accompany people's prayer meditation throughout Lent, daily reflections based off the daily readings, applied to people's experiences with recovery.
And now, do you find that, you know, the whole recovery process, the seasonal kind of aspect of Catholicism, you talk about the I know you talk, because you wrote a book about it, the sacraments, the mm-hmm. seven sacraments, mm-hmm. but is the seasonal thing helpful? Makes things harder. How do you experience that as far as the recovery community goes?
Yeah, I think that the seasonal, the liturgical seasons and the changes and shifts in seasons, I think they blend really well with recovery and kind mm-hmm. of give you know, maybe different themes throughout the year, something to keep us, you know, united in, you know, during the season of Lent, we stay united with the newcomers in the church. Really, why Lent was formed, so that we can walk with the, you know, new catechumen, people who are going to be baptized and welcomed into the church at Easter. But during this time, we really get back to basics, you know, remove the things from us that keep us, you know, connected with God and our fellow brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of yeah. recovery themes that we can apply to that. Certainly the constant focus on the newcomer and how we can, you know, share experience, strength, and hope with the one who's entering in return. That strengthens us, strengthens our resolve, our faith, and our
yeah.
recovery.
Yeah. 888-318-7884 is the number if you have questions about being Catholic in recovery. Maybe it's for yourself. Maybe it's for someone else. 888-318-7884. Catholic in Recovery growing all around the world. But tell us about what it is and how it works.
Yeah. So Catholic in Recovery, we founded it about 5 years ago or so. I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict myself. Got sober about 10 years ago here in San Diego, which prompted me to find the church around the same time as I got sober.
Oh, yeah.
Those two life-giving, really, foundations helped rejuvenate life within me. And at 26, you know, I was given a new chance at life. And over the last 10 years, you know, personal change and development has taken place, family, growing family, which, you know, my wife and three kids now, grateful to be here in San Diego. But about 5 years ago, started Catholic in Recovery. Now, you know, started with one meeting here in San Diego in 2017. Now we have about 50 different groups around the country, 15 different states, offering about 20 plus virtual meetings. So people who don't live near an active Catholic in Recovery group that meets in person can certainly connect to our community virtually.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, I should also note, when we're talking about recovery and addiction, I'll use the phrases addiction, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments to kind of describe this condition,
right,
which
right.
keeps us separated from God, this patterns in our life, attitudinal, behavioral patterns that keep us separated and become like really this death cycle in many ways. It includes alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, restricted eating,
yeah.
gambling addiction, pornography and lust addiction, sexual addictions, all sorts of codependency, technology addictions, you name it, these things that keep us distanced from God and become idols in many ways in our lives.
The number again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about Catholic in Recovery or just want to talk about have recovery questions, maybe you have, you certainly don't have to be Catholic to call. I mean, mm-hmm. Scott, you're willing to talk with anybody about
Absolutely.
This. But if you are Catholic and you have questions in that regard, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let me say, the phones are already starting to fill up, but My we saw you in my parish the other day, on Sunday. My wife and I saw you in our parish.
Yeah.
And then she said, who's that? Who was that? And I said, that's Scott Weiman. She goes, he wrote the book. And I said, yeah, he wrote the book. And because she loves your book. She loves the 12 steps and the sacrament. I always say it wrong. I always say the 12 steps and the seven sacraments, like I'm supposed to list them. A Catholic Journey Through Recovery, the 12 steps and the sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. This is one of the great needs. And I think this is, I think, Scott, this is why you keep running into, you know, you said 5 years ago you started Catholic in Recovery. You keep running into people who want to cooperate with you and help you. Like every step of the way, you've run into people who want to help you. And I think that speaks to the felt need for this. We know we need this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, it's been a gift. I mean, you know, I didn't start Catholic in Recovery seeing a market need and, you know, kind of entering it that way. I just had experience around my own recovery journey, finding the church kind of through my recovery and understanding in many ways the sacraments through the lens of the 12 steps and really enriching my relationship with my higher power, who I got to know through 12-step recovery groups. But finding a deeper spiritual relationship with him through the sacraments and knowing him as Jesus Christ, and I can proclaim him in Catholic and recovery meetings as my, you know, my Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Yeah.
I can get specific with that, which, you know, 12-step recovery groups, secular groups continue to save my life one day at a time. We offer a supplement to secular 12-step groups that offer healing from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, but blend Catholic spirituality to provide a balanced and holistic approach to our recovery.
Why do you think we're so addicted these? I mean, maybe you'll say to me, this has been all of human history. I don't know, but it just seems like our society struggles so much with this. Every family. I mean, I don't know families who don't have in some part of the family, some struggle with addiction.
Mm-hmm. It's a response to suffering. And in many ways, it's a means to cope with suffering. And, so addictions don't just start off, you know, addictively in many ways. They're oftentimes a coping mechanism for a challenge in one's life. And so we both cope with success and failures and challenges and triumphs through this, kind of through escape in many ways. So they become false idols, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a drink or a food or a drug or the dice or the drive-through. These false idols really become gods in our lives. They consume and they provide some immediate reward and satisfaction and pleasure.
You know? Right, right.
St. Thomas Aquinas says that the four things that we pursue in place of God are power, pleasure, honor, and wealth. And they seem to kind of encapsulate those four things. And those are the things that we pursue. And in pursuit of them, they become idols in many ways. And they become idols in a way that we center our lives around them.
Yeah, it's really something how you, what you said just spoke to me about something. I mean, it maybe seems so simple, but I used to joke about this, but now I don't joke about it quite so much, but every Lent I give up television. I don't watch television throughout the season of Lent. And then at the end of Lent, I go, I'm just going to not watch television anymore. And then every Lent, I got to give it up again. Like, what happened over the course of those months that every Lent, I got to start back at square one?
I mean, and this is why we're in recovery, right?
Yeah, right.
Some might proclaim that they're recovered, but my journey is in recovery. So where there's this healing process is daily. Is something that we need to commit to daily. You know, we do it seasonally here during the season of Lent, and that provides really good foundation that we can kind of rely on and start to frame and keep these patterns going post-Lent into Easter and, you know, hopefully bettering our lives by means of keeping us closer to God and our brothers and sisters. Now, that's challenging, though, you know, to keep it, to keep that going. And, you know, there are many things that pull our attention and reward us in some ways. And so, you know, the process back, we could call it relapse. Sometimes it's a slow process.
Yeah, yeah, and that can be so discouraging. But it helps to hear from someone else. I've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
There is this thing called relapse, and then
absolutely
dust yourself off. Let's go to Gene. Let's start with Gene in Louisiana, listening on Catholic.com. Gene, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Weiman.
Hi, Scott. This is Jean from Louisiana.
Hi, Jean.
I belong to the online group, and I was just calling to find out how to start a group, local group.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we get people inquiring often about getting Catholic in recovery groups started. You mentioned, you know, having great, awesome partners within the process and people kind of adapting and helping out and partnering, such as Catholic Answers. You know, it's a blessing to be on the air and just being able to share and advance the discussion around addiction recovery within the church. And so, you know, we get, that's how Catholic in recovery groups have formed, really by the passion and the and the vision of people who locally are interested in getting groups started. So, Jean, thank you very much for calling and asking. What that really looks like is, you know, one can go to our website, CatholicInRecovery.com, and there's an option there for getting a group started. You know, you can go to our I think our meetings tab has a few different options. You can find a Catholic in recovery meeting that way, either an in-person meeting or a virtual meeting. Or you can also inquire about getting a group started, which then you fill out a form. We contact you upon, you know, receiving that. And then have a conversation looking at, you know, discussing what the process and kind of working with you one-on-one, forming, you know, the person who is the liaison between the parish or the community. Oftentimes it's that, you know, that person is not on staff at a parish or is not, you know, so if interested in getting a group on, you know, a group started at a parish, then we have conversations with the staff member, the priest or the, you know, whoever it needs to have the conversation with. Oftentimes they know the need, they see the need on a regular basis. But again, this, you know, the topic of addiction, which is so big and so dooming in many ways, you know, it's just seen, we know it's a big problem, but in some ways we've seen it as such a big problem that, you know, we've kind of just thrown our hands up in the air and not really sure what to do about it. So, you know, getting a Catholic in recovery group started, we have the resources that we provide for local groups, which includes, you know, all the meeting materials, the processes, you know, some of the additional things like Catholic in recovery tokens to celebrate monthly and annual recovery milestones, you know, the literature and pamphlets and things like that to spread the word and get the word out. But really just go to CatholicInRecovery.com and one can find out about how to get a group started. We'll, you reach out to us, provide us some information on the form, and we will reach out to you.
Okay, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very, very much. Our number is 888-318-7884. It's time for us to take our first break. A few callers on and we'll get to them, but there are a couple of lines open. If you'd like to talk about the recovery process, you want to talk specifically about Catholic in Recovery, the wonderful apostolate started by our friend here in studio with us, Scott Wieman. And you, as I said before, you don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to be Christian. If you have questions in this regard, you are welcome. 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
From Rome to your home, EWTN's Vatican Bureau lets you watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have a TV. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home. It's easy. Watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Blessed Lent to you. Prosperous Lent to you. Prosperous in the sense that we got to turn over the soil so that the new stuff can grow. And
exactly.
It is meant to be prosperous.
That's right.
Yeah. Scott Wieman is our guest. He founded an organization called Catholic in Recovery. He wrote a book called The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. You can find out all about what Scott does. Maybe you want to get involved in a Catholic in Recovery group. Maybe you want to start one. You can do that by going to CatholicInRecovery.com, or you can just call us here, 888-318-7884. Up next is Christian in Frisco, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Christian, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome.
All righty. Fantastic. Well, first off, Cy, I got to say, contrary to popular opinion, and I mean by your popular opinion, I think you're the best host of Catholic Answers, and we really love you.
So. Nice. I'm going to call all the other former hosts after this show and tell them. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, listen, my question's a two-parter. For our host, number one, my mother is a revert to the faith. Okay. And is currently in recovery. She's been in recovery. She's been sober for about 9 months now. But she feels like other than her routine AA meetings, she doesn't need any sort of, shall we say, spiritual help. I'm wondering what advice you might give to her. Part two of my question, my siblings and I, both of my parents struggle from alcoholism, but we've witnessed that our whole life. With that being said, we feel like we can enjoy an occasional, shall we say, adult beverage, much to our parents' concern. What advice the speaker might have for us, for our parents, and whether that sort of normal, quote-unquote normal relationship with alcohol might be possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Christian. A follow-up question. Do you have, you said that your mom is a revert. Can you explain what you mean by that and how that's maybe informing her faith?
Sure. My mom was raised in the former Soviet Union. And so other than the witness of Saint Pope John Paul the Great, she wasn't really strong in her faith growing up. She was strong in her faith when she immigrated here to the U.S. After our beloved parish priest passed away, sort of strayed away from the faith, and I guess sort of simultaneously spiraled into alcoholism, and sort of came back to the faith, went to confession the same time she started going to AA, and has been attending at least weekly mass, and so that's sort of a snapshot of her faith journey. If that's helpful.
Praise God. That's what a gift. It sounds like 9 months of recovery from a deadly disease that wants to take everything from us. Praise God for that those changes that are being made in your mom's life and in your family. And 9 months is about the time it takes to give birth and for new birth to be given. So I would be very confident that God has her right where she needs to be. You know, there are many, you know, can we be there when people are asking questions and when the Holy Spirit is maybe nudging us to dig a little bit deeper? Certainly, I think, you know, over, you know, a lot of changes taking place in 9 months. I would just, you know, give it time and know that God, that she's in the hands of the physician, the divine physician. You know, too oftentimes our problem is our challenge is that we want to be taken out of the hands of the physician because we get quite impatient. The disease, the spiritual disease of addiction is cunning, baffling, powerful, and patient. And rooted in a lot of lies, and so yeah, I think it sounds like she's on the right path. Now, you know, what can you do as a loved one, particularly, you know, a child of an addict or an alcoholic? You know, there are I think a number of different things. First of all, you don't need the behavior patterns of your parents to necessarily dictate what you can or can't do. Should you be mindful of and be aware of the fact that addiction tends to be. And you have some biological roots that are, you know, manifested differently. Sure, that certainly should be aware of, and you should be ever aware of in the spiritual life. You know, your temperance. You know, I would say lean on the cardinal virtue of temperance to guide you as you're engaging in adult beverages. You know, I think that, you know, if your mom or others who are, you know, you might be certainly sensitive to, you know, when you're having a drink, or, you know, certainly I found in my own experience that especially in my early recovery, the first year or two. That was when I was around friends and, you know, on occasions, particularly like New Year's Eve. My first New Year's Eve, I was about 3 months sober. And back home, you know, where I was kind of back in old environments, a lot of drinking back where I'm from in Wisconsin and just kind of is the norm. And, you know, we had a New Year's Eve dinner with some of my close friends. And into the dinner, I recognized that no one else was drinking. It didn't really dawn on me until then. But, you know, they usually would have been having a few adult beverages on an evening or a dinner like this. But, you know, it was a sign of kind of their support for me. Now, do I always want people to be changing their behavior around me because, you know, thinking that I might be sensitive or might alarm me or activate this need for a drink in me? No, it actually almost makes me feel a little bit more uncomfortable when people are going out of their way to kind of tend to my needs. But that's because I have some, you know, some foundation within my recovery. So you want to be sensitive, perhaps even have conversations, have an open conversation with your mom and ask her how you can be supportive. There are also many support, you know, there's a lot of support available for family members whose loved ones are impacted by addiction, whether they're in recovery or not. So groups like Al-Anon, or there are also Catholic in Recovery family and friends groups, which can inform how you can be supportive, but also supportive in a way that is really, you know, letting God, you know, can move and direct the way of her recovery. But, you know, there are some things. Recovery does not happen just in a vacuum, or addiction doesn't happen in a vacuum either. And so, therefore, it's a family spiritual disease. And so, really, within the course of one's addiction, the family is affected. And so it might be, you know, you might find some benefit by exploring how your life, or maybe how some of your attitudes or behaviors have been influenced by the presence of addiction within your family, not as a means to cast judgment on another person, but simply as a means to eliminate any barriers in your own life that are causing you, barriers to God and to your relationship with your fellow brother and sister.
Thanks, Christian.
Do you mind if I ask a follow-up question?
No, please do.
Okay. So in that same vein, I've got some other family members on my fiance's side of the family. My fiance is Protestant. I've taken my mom's journey in recovery very seriously as a cradle Catholic. And I feel like that's sort of turned me, shall we say, into a militant Catholic. How can I approach the issue of recovery with my fellow Christian but non-Catholic soon-to-be family members without necessarily donning the Grand Inquisitor's robe or my Knights Templar armor, you know, not being so militantly Catholic.
First of all, you have an awesome closet. Anti-Catholic. I don't know what else you've got in there. You've got the Grand Inquisitor's robe. You've got the Knights Templar armor. I don't know what else is in there. How does he stay normal talking to people about this?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're asking yourself the right questions. And just the fact that you're asking those questions means that you're probably going to find answers along the way that are going to be necessary and helpful for you and your new extended family. And so, you know, you've got, just go in there with mercy. You know, it's not, you're not free. You're certainly not free of your thoughts and your minds if you're simply, you know, just making judgments of people or, you know, being the arbiter of how people should live their lives. So give people the respect to, you know, first of all, personal change, making change, behavioral change is a really, really hard thing. We can't even do it within ourselves. It takes daily divine providence for me to be this new life.
Yeah.
How do I think that I can make those changes in other people? You know, but with that, we can have adequate concern, and we can also monitor our own behavior. So really, you know, the line that we often say in recovery is we take our own inventory, don't take other people's inventory. You know, simply just kind of clean up our side of the street and let people take care of their own. You know, but the more that we do that, the more that we're actively pursuing self-discovery and how to better ourselves, you know, through the various resources at our disposal, the more that others will see that, but not because of what you're telling them, but because of what you're showing them.
Christian, again, thank you very, very much. Anybody's welcome to call, whether you're Catholic or not, Christian or not. Scott Wieman is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, growing around the world, certainly growing here in the United States. Maybe it's coming to your parish or your town, and maybe you'll be part of it. If you got any questions about how to do that or questions about the recovery process, 888-318-7884. Margaret in Chicago, Illinois, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You're next up, Margaret. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Okay, great. Thank you, Scott, for taking my question. So I have a 18-year-old senior high school son that just revealed to me that he is addicted to gambling. And I'm wondering where to even start. You know, he's right now hearing back from colleges, and it's been a concern if he's even ready for college, but this has revealed a lot about what his behavior that was sort of swirling around, not really understanding why he was making the choices he was. Now I can see. But, you know, there's such a lack of therapists that are even available because I think a lot of teens are struggling right now. So my question is, one, I'm very concerned obviously with addiction this young of an age, not trying to look into the future, but what is that, having an addiction this young, what does that look like? And where do we even start as a family, and how do I support him, and where do we go for help?
Thanks for calling, Margaret.
I'm sorry, Scott.
Yeah.
That was terrible timing. Can you hang on just a second?
Yeah.
Because we have to do this break, Margaret. Can you hang on just a quick second and we'll get an answer to your question?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Because it just came upon us and we got to take this one. This is not one I can put off. Take a quick break. Be right back with more on addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, founder of Catholic in Recovery. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Why do we share our hearts so easily with a priest?
We'll talk about that tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. On this first day of Lent, Catholic Answers Live, at least in the Latin Rite, it's the first day of Lent, and you're very welcome here. We're talking about addiction and recovery. We like to do that as often as we can, actually, have Scott Wieman in, and Scott is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, a book that has helped many, many people. And then, which one came first, actually, Catholic in Recovery or the book? I don't actually know that.
Catholic in Recovery came first.
It did?
And
yeah.
Then just as I was starting, I was writing the book. It's like a two-year process from, you know, when I was kind of contacted about the potential of writing it to when it was published. So during that time, a lot of changes were helped and advanced. And just like you mentioned, you know, the opportunity to write a book by a reputable Catholic publisher provided legitimacy and an opportunity to sit at tables like this and have the conversations that we're having. Which
I know, we didn't
blessing.
Want to talk to you until the book came out.
I know.
We were like, we're not talking to that Scott Wieman guy. And then a book came out. We're like, yes!
There you go.
So Catholic, I'm only joking. Sarah, do you think people know I'm joking when I talk like that with Scott? Okay, all right. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can go to learn more. On the line is Margaret in Chicago, talking about a teenage son with an apparent addiction to gambling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, you know, we're seeing much more often. We were, you know, it's clear that these things that are prohibiting or allowing compulsive behaviors are becoming legal in many ways. Gambling, one of those things that's becoming legalized in many states around the country. It's only a matter of time, likely, until it's really rampant. And reports are that there are billions of dollars being spent in gambling, sports gambling, other means. And there are reasons why casinos have such luxurious amenities and such.
I know. Something's paying for that, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And so what this causes is a really great, you know, it's a the addiction or the satisfaction that comes, the reward that comes from gambling is not always, is so hit or miss that it's unpredictable in many ways, which actually our brain, our reward system likes that in some ways. It does, it's kind of keeping it guessing in some ways. And so the, the perpetuation of gambling addiction is dark and it's sad and it ruins families and it destroys lives. And so to be cut off, as soon as possible, as soon as it becomes a problem or a challenge. Now, what the common question is, what can we do about a loved one who is engaging in this behavior and maybe either doesn't see that it's a problem or they don't know how to get help or they can't envision help or maybe they're not telling all the details. Maybe they're just kind of being a little bit either hiding it, which is certainly descriptive of someone with an addiction, compulsion, or an unhealthy attachment. And so, you know, the question is among loved ones, parents particularly, what can we do for, you know, son or a daughter or a loved one who's engaging in addictive behavior, in this instance gambling? Be honest with them. Do not allow the addiction or the compulsive behavior to be the one calling the shots in the family. So the addiction or the compulsion, in this case gambling addiction, we can kind of in some ways personify it as like a person in the family in some ways, because, you know, when we do start making decisions around how to keep the addiction protected, means that we don't tell people. We keep it hidden. We alleviate, we prevent the natural consequences of one's behavior from happening. And so as a family member, oftentimes, especially as a parent, they're the ones that are absorbing the consequences of another person's behaviors by means of bailing them out of financial trouble or doing these things to kind of cover up, which is out of a legitimate concern for their well-being. But here's the thing. When Father Jacques Philippe, modern writer, writes this a wonderful book. He notes that suffering, he says that he notes the fear of suffering has absolutely no redemptive value to it. It hardens our hearts and it keeps us isolated and distant from God and our fellows. However, suffering does have many redemptive qualities to it. So a lot of ways, and you know, it warms us up, it opens us up to what God might be able to do in our lives. But the fear of suffering, no redemptive qualities whatsoever, and actually makes us make a lot of irrational decisions. And so a lot of this people's, you know, concern goes to what could happen, what could possibly happen. And therefore, they're really acting out of this fear of suffering.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, we get irrational. We kind of actually end up succumbing to the insanity of the addiction. And so, you know, whereas we can track an addict's emotional progress or chart throughout a day, it kind of looks like a roller coaster. You know, up and down and up and down, and eventually they'll kind of come to the gate, and maybe it stops, maybe it doesn't stop. As a loved one, we have two options. We can either get on the roller coaster with them, experience all the highs, the lows, the twists, the turns, and, you know, that's when we experience the cycle of insanity. We want off. Or we can stand firmly at the gate, recognize, you know, let them know where we stand, and be very firm in our commitment to them and our love for them. But not allowing the addiction to be the one that's calling the shots or keeping us isolated from a solution. Now, that doesn't mean that you go and tell the world about, you know, what's happening in your family, but that does mean that as a loved one, it's incumbent upon you to find recovery and find healing for yourself. Because as mentioned, addiction does not stay isolated within an individual, but rather is a family spiritual disease. And so all of our behaviors within the family shift and change and, you know, make up for the lost presence of someone, either physical or emotional or mental presence within a family. And it makes us do all sorts of weird things, adapt, and all of a sudden now the addiction is kind of calling all the shots. So if we can just But this kind of intervention within a family can't be done just alone. So it's really important to connect with others who have been in that situation, who have walked through the journey, the darkness of a loved one's addiction, but have found hope and healing, have found some and recognized some things that they can do on their own, taking their own inventory, keeping our side of the street clean. But, you know, when we find wellness within ourselves that doesn't require anyone else to change, life becomes more joyful. We can manage life. And so another thing, three things that oftentimes family members with an addiction tend to kind of fall into these patterns. They think that they had some place in causing it, that they can control it, and that they're responsible for curing it. None of those three things are true. But that is a kind of this this mindset that becomes so ingrained within us that you know, the shame of seeking help, or you know, having this idea that this is my responsibility, kind of keeps us actually away from the solution.
Margaret, what do you hear in there that, that might be helpful to you, and or do you have a follow up question for Scott?
No, that was very, very helpful, and I just was wondering if gambling is. We can follow the same path of recovery, whatever addiction it is, for family.
Absolutely. In fact, there is a we have virtual Catholic in Recovery meetings that are available for family and friends impacted by a loved one's addiction. The same process of addiction often takes place in the family, regardless of whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, eating, and the process of recovery the same as well. And so, in fact, in 25 minutes, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, in 25 minutes from right now, we've got a virtual Catholic in Recovery meeting taking place. I would, if you're available, I would suggest participating in that group. Go to catholicinrecovery.com, find a virtual meeting. Wednesdays, you'll find a family and friends recovery meeting, and get connected. And take that action now while willingness is at its peak.
Margaret, thank you, and God bless you. We've got to take our second break, or third break now, last break of the hour. Next hour, Father Matthew Spencer will be here, and it'll be Ask a Priest. You can ask him whatever you like, but we do have, we still have some lines open if you'd like to ask about recovery, about addiction. Maybe it's for a family member, maybe it's for yourself, maybe some other situation. Whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not, of course your call is welcome here, 888-318-7884. Scott Wieman is our guest. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery, a growing apostolate, growing around the world and certainly growing here in the United States, and he's the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. Again, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Jennifer says, behavior in the parking lot after Mass made me think twice about becoming a Catholic.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. No doubt. Yeah, sure. I've often said I think the number one impediment to making an act of faith in the Catholic religion is Catholics.
Yeah.
Yeah, hands down. Yeah. We're a mess.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic in, I almost said Catholic in Recovery Live. No, Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and you can find it at catholicinrecovery.com. As a matter of fact, he just does ads for his program whenever he wants, right in the middle of the show. He'll just, 25 minutes from now, go live. Just we don't charge you for those, do we? But we might have to start. The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. That's Scott Wieman's book. He is the founder and director of Catholic in Recovery. If you have questions about recovery, if this is a struggle of yours or a struggle that's in your family, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884. And if you're interested in, you know, the accessibility of Catholic in Recovery, maybe this is something you could do at your church or your parish or your Catholic institution.
I should add, we have a Spanish-speaking meeting now.
Qué bueno!
Yeah, just actually started today. The first, it's a virtual meeting that meets every Wednesday. Now it's in Spanish. So that provides also the opportunity to have Spanish, a lot of our materials translated into Spanish, and we actually look forward to starting a group in Ensenada, Mexico within the next month or two.
Wonderful. That's great. Because I do not know if you know this, but the Spanish-speaking south of us here is the heartland of the Catholic world.
Amen.
From our border about, I don't know, 5 or 10 miles from here, down to the tip of South America, there's a lot of Catholics. I'm so glad you're doing it in Spanish. So could someone, like, say, I don't know, in Colombia or Venezuela, call you up or send you an email and say, I'd like to start a group here?
The woman who is leading the virtual Spanish-speaking meeting is in Costa Rica.
Oh, she's in Costa Rica.
So yes, people from all over the world are welcome to join.
Oh, I thought what you were saying was, if you speak Spanish, you have to go to Costa Rica for the meeting. But no, you can go virtual meeting.
Yep.
All right. Jim in Charleston, South Carolina, listening on Catholic.com. We're glad to have you, Jim. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And I want to thank you for your ministry. I'm a convert to the faith, about 20 years. I'm also in recovery, been sober for 13. And I just want to make a comment for the young man that called about his mother who's in recovery and having a hard time finding her spiritual center, you know, although she is sober. I found recovery totally compatible with my Catholic faith. And I just want to encourage that young man to know that it is compatible. You may have to give it time. You hear a lot of different things from people in recovery about the faith, but he will pray for his mother and encourage her. I think I pray that things will work out for her. And that's really all I have to say. But just, again, thank you for your ministry. Very interested to find out more about it.
Amen. Thanks, Jim.
Again.
Oh, Jim, thank you. And congratulations on 20 years in the church, 13 years sober. Beautiful.
That's a gift. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of compatibilities between our faith as Catholics and the 12 steps of recovery and really the principles of addiction recovery, which unite us around service, around fellowship, and unity with each other, unity with God. And amen. There's, I detail that in the book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, which really kind of shares a lot of the overlap between our faith and recovery principles. But through the stories, you know, it's oftentimes, it's not so much what works in recovery is that we share experience, strength, and hope with each other. You know, a lot of times kind of framed around for us what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. In many ways, we become disciples because we learn how to share our stories in very compact, you know, kind of segments as well, because we're going around a room oftentimes, just, you know, we have limited time to share. But we learn how to share faith. And so that even just the presence of sitting in a meeting with each other who are, you know, some new to recovery, some newcomers, some raw, some still, demons pounding on the door every night asking, you know, demanding their attention and, that person one day at a time, you know, shutting the door and asking for God's help and saying thank you, you know, as we pull the sheets over us. And so we become disciples, but not by means of telling people what to do, but rather by just sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with how God has worked in our lives. And that's what attracts people. You know, there's this principle of attraction rather than promotion in recovery. It's not so much, you know, it's what people see. And, you know, there's a great contrast that we get to see. I get the blessing of seeing, you know, people coming in and then finding great change and seeing the contrast between what it was like and what it's like now. And, you know, for people who know that person, they can be a great testament to how God is working in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that call.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim.
Our number is 888-318-7884. We'll go now to right back here to California. Anonymous in California watching on YouTube. Anonymous, thank you so much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
I want to know even where to start. I have so many addictions. You mentioned overeating. Well, I have that. I overdrink coffee. I'm trying to give it up for Lent. I'm a smoker. But I feel like, I just don't know where to go or what to start with.
Oh, well, thank you for the call. Scott, what can you say?
It sounds like Anonymous has found a start. I mean, that's it. The start has just started. When we admit that we are powerless, that's step one. Now there are some parts to that and some pieces to that, but you know, we can't change unless we recognize a need to change. God can't change us unless we recognize that we need God to change us. And so, and also God can't fill what's already full. So in a lot of ways, we need to empty the things within ourselves, within our hearts, that are consuming what God wants. You know, so when, you know, we look at, in a lot of ways, when addictions take hold, and I am in all of the above kind of an addict.
Yeah.
If it brings me power, pleasure, honor, or wealth, particularly pleasure or honor, I want more of it. And wow. And I often don't stop until I, you know, there's one is too many and a thousand is not enough. And so I thank you for calling. I imagine that there are many people who are feeling the exact same way that are listening right now, who didn't have the courage to call and are probably thinking the same thing and saying, "Wonder what do I do? Where do I start?" That's the start. And connect though. There's this window of grace that God allows. This opening up of, you know, potentially just envisioning what could happen is enough to open the window of grace. But those windows of grace don't stay open for that long. And so it's important to take immediate action.
Okay.
I would find, you know, of course we need fellowship. We can't do it ourselves. We need the strength of God. And we can access God or we can find God at any time. But, you know, through the sacraments, through confession, that would be a great place to start.
But I have to say, if I am an alcoholic, I think I could find an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But if I have multiple addictions, smoking and overeating and, you know, the caffeine addiction and all the rest, I don't know what to do. Where do I find a meeting? How do I do that?
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good point. Our Catholic in recovery meetings, many of them are general recovery meetings.
Okay.
And what that means is that they're open to people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, and people like me and Anonymous who are kind of all the above, you know, who need a lot of reform.
Right.
Now, we may or may not start tackling all of them at once. It may be prudent to do so, may not, but we need to connect with people who have found us, who know where we stand right now, and who can provide, who can share experience on how they got out of that and found freedom and found resolve. And so in these general recovery groups, we have people sharing who have various addiction experiences, people who are, you know, sharing on alcoholism. We've had, in fact, this morning we celebrated a man 41 years sober. And, you know, but also people who are compulsive overeaters, nicotine addicts, gambling addicts, you name it, pornography and lust addiction, which the rates astronomical.
Right.
And, you know, we in those general recovery meetings, you hear people that are sharing experience around all of those things, which provides a very holistic approach to recovery.
I see. Okay.
It can be very easy. Not very easy. Recovery is not easy at all. But it's very tempting to give up one addictive behavior or compulsive behavior and lean on another one. And so we find the same pleasure, the same rewards by a different means. And so all of these addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, I say, are different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. Yeah. And that is this distance between us and God. And we're trying to fit something else in this place where only God can fit. And so when we hear this kind of holistic approach to people finding resolve and recovery, reform and new life around a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, it keeps the propensity to, you know, lean into one or the other, kind of take on a new addiction and instead pursue God. Of course, you know, with the scriptures and reliance on the sacraments and all the things that our faith provide, all helps with that as well.
Anonymous, I don't know if you'd be interested in trying an online, maybe a version of a general recovery meeting at CatholicInRecovery.com, but is that answer helpful to you? Do you have a follow-up for Scott?
I am Catholic, so that the scriptures and the sacraments definitely help.
Amen.
I'm currently without internet, and I mean, I'm not technical anyway, so it's hard for me to do that. But I mean, I can, and I have to.
I would suggest that if we pursue recovery with the same tenacity that we pursue these addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, that God will be there and meet us and provide the opportunities that need us to get in the door. And so, Anonymous, I understand the technology challenges and such, and there are opportunities to connect with your fellow brothers and sisters, Catholic or fellow people who are in recovery in your community as well. We hope that, you know, one day there's a Catholic in recovery meeting in every community, so that's not a challenge, and you can just, you know, go to your local parish. But or, you know, you can also talk to your local priest and say, hey, we need to get a Catholic in recovery meeting started here.
Yeah, all right. Anonymous, thank you very much. I, all of a sudden, there's lots and lots of folks on the line, so I'm going to keep moving. And many prayers for you. And thank you for the call. I'm going to go to Karina in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. Karina, go ahead with your question for Scott. Karina? All right, I'm going to have to come back to Karina if we can. We'll I can't go to any line at the moment. But it does provide me with an opportunity to ask you something. Mm-hmm. I feel like in my own circles, there are folks who have a great deal of difficulty with their recovery and relapse, and I don't know how what are you supposed to do when, you know, like sometimes I say, oh, he's drinking again. And then you kind of feel the attitude in the way the person says it. Mm. And you try not to have the attitude, but, you know, oh, he's drinking again. What's the response to that?
Yeah, the response, you know, what we want to get to is a place of this unconditional love where we don't even actually need to know whether our loved one is engaging in the addictive behavior or not.
Yeah.
Like in some ways, there's this woman in Florida who has been a really inspiration to me, who shares about her experience with her daughter and all the, you know, the recovery through and the challenges through addiction and her own recovery, where, you know, now she shares that she doesn't even have the propensity or the thought doesn't even enter her mind to ask her daughter whether she's using or drinking. And there's just, you know, and that's the freedom that she describes. But that freedom, you may think that that's a small thing. That freedom, however, is actually one of great depth that allows us to just love our loved ones in a lot of ways, similar to the way that God loves us. Now, of course, do we want the wellness and the goodness of our friends and family members? Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And is it incumbent in some ways, maybe to have an insight of what they're going through? Sure. But if they knock on the door.
Yeah, yeah. But what about the person who says, I can't be around you when you're drinking? Is that a bad thing to say to somebody?
No, it sounds like a healthy boundary.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'm going to try Karina again. If we can get you on here, Karina, we're going to have to go real quick. But Karina, are you there with us?
Hi.
Hi. We're short of time, so you got to be quick with your question.
Okay. My fiancé and I are getting married soon, and he has struggled with a pornography addiction for some time now. And he is trying very hard to kick it, and he's just been struggling. And he's trying to use Lent as a time for, you know, for fasting and to get away from doing all of that. But he's resisting getting help, and I've been trying to give him some Catholic resources, and I just didn't know if you have any ideas of how to get through to him that maybe it's difficult to do things on your own, and it could be useful to have outside help.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Karina.
Yeah, thank you for calling, and certainly understand, you know, the concerns that would be around that, and you know, pornography, one of these things, just like gambling, or things that are becoming much more culturally acceptable, and you know, but certainly not not morally acceptable, certainly not healthy for us in our spiritual lives, and on a variety of ways that addiction manifests itself, and pornography addiction running rampant, destroying and tearing apart families. Thank you for making the phone call. The fact that you're, you know, concerned, you probably are recognizing your own limitations and being able to help. You know, you can make references and you can offer, you know, what help might be available. But the listening ear may not be willing. It may not even be listening. Now, if they are, when it's important, and there's a humility to our, you know, family members and friends, that we're not the ones that are going to be the ones to necessarily help in some ways. Now, you know, can we point to help? Yes. But it's likely that, you know, he will find help by another man connecting with him, being able to form a relationship that provides this relation, and then in some ways kind of repeated actions that are new actions that have to replace the old behavior. So, you know, a lot of times we try just to fast. We remove the addictive behavior, but we don't replace it with anything that's spiritually beneficial to us. Recovery provides that replacement via fellowship, unity with God, etc.
Sound like Jesus. I remember the part about Jesus where the demon goes out and and seven more come back in. So something has to go there that will not allow the demon back in or prevents the demons coming back in.
Yeah.
Whatever the demons may be. In this case, metaphorically, but.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Scott Wieman, love it when you come here. 12 Steps and the 12 Steps in the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery is Scott's book. Please check out all the stuff that is going on over at CatholicInRecovery.com, and they have a Lenten series of reflections available now, an ebook, CatholicInRecovery.com. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And coming up next, Ask a Priest. Father Matthew Spencer will be here. To know him is to love him. Be right back.